Guys, we decided to sing our intro this time instead of, you know, the typical music you're used to hearing.
Also, you need to play for them what you were just playing me.
Oh, yes, I can. One second. Shout out. This is actually on Broad City's Instagram.
Hey, hey.
Alana and Abby.
But it's our content.
But it's our content.
How do you know what's good for me? That's my opinion!
For those of you who don't know, that is the one and only Tamara Barney and OG of the OC, Vicky Gumbelson, at an OC reunion.
It's Tamara Judge.
What did I say, Tamara Barney? Oh my God. I am so sorry.
And by the way, listeners, if you didn't recognize that clip, maybe you don't belong here.
Right, yeah. If you don't remember, that's my opinion. Then... Which, like, the voice tune, auto-tune that happened... Not that far away.
I know.
From what it actually sounds like, IRL. And that's why we love you, Tamara Judge.
Rach, we got a good episode.
Ugh, so good.
We have the finale of The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
Mm-hmm. And we have the premiere of The Real Housewives of New York City.
And because interviewing Sheena and Shep yesterday just wasn't enough.
No, no.
We're talking to Dorinda Medley from The Real Housewives of New York City.
But wait, there's more.
We are going to watch the first look at the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills reunion.
Eek! I think Bev, I'm going to be bold here and say that Bev might be my favorite reunions.
They do amazing reunions.
Yes. I mean, OC does too. I mean, they all do, of course. But I feel like when I think of reunions, I think of Bobby Fischer.
Yes. You know? And, the one where season 5, it was Kyle and Kim just going at it. Your dog bit my daughter. She had a bite on her fucking finger.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, dark days.
All right, let's watch this.
Tonight.
That's a flat-out lie, Lisa.
No, it's not, Dorit.
It's a flat-out lie.
The 3-part Beverly Hills reunion begins.
I think that you guys enjoyed every minute of it. Enjoyed humiliating me.
Don't try to make it seem like that. I don't like
you
that.
You thought it was funny.
The question
too.
Was for me, Lisa. That's okay. So annoying. That's so annoying to me. Stop.
You have a very big mouth.
Dorit, shut up. So do you.
And then you went and said, Kyle was so weird and cold to me. That's a flat out lie.
I've learned a lot from this season, and I realize that you...
That you're an ass.
Erica, you also said Dorit says boring sh**, and you say important sh**.
Well, Dorit does go on.
Woo!
Thank you.
You have 3 full-time maids?
Yes.
Are you that dirty? You hired a private investigator to find Max's birth parents.
Yeah.
What's the status of the search?
I didn't remember a 5-minute conversation at a dinner
party.
I'm
talking to you right now, Dorit.
Lisa.
Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
We're not acting here. This is real.
Yes, I know that, Kim.
And so sometimes the faces...
Have you seen your face? I think you're a sick woman.
I feel the same way about you.
Okay.
Why do you always look at me for anything Kim's done? I am not her mother.
You know, I've listened to Rena call me a pervert and say, ew. I've listened to Eileen suggest that I'm some kind of creep staring up the dresses all the time.
Hey, I'm a whore!
I'm not stupid.
Don't fucking blame me for that, Lisa. I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to talk about it.
What doesn't she want to talk about? I'm surprised to see Kyle and Lisa not getting along. Lisa Vanderpump.
Yeah, I know. It was tense. I mean, whenever they fight, it gets uncomfortable for me. Because I feel like it's watching mom and dad fight.
Right.
Like, you guys are supposed to be on the same team.
I can't wait until they all confront PK about everything that's been said. Because it's one thing to, like, hear what he might have said through Dorit or in passing. But to, like, now they've all watched the whole season. He's been, maybe not in interview necessarily, but, like, had conversations with Dorit. So all of that, I think, is going to color all of their opinions.
Right.
Differently.
Totally. And I think it's good that he gets to speak for himself versus
totally.
Dorit
speaking
doing it
for him.
But I also have to say, if I were him, I wouldn't have gone. Like,
you don't think? I think that, well, actually. I have a lot to say.
I mean, yes, because you want to tell people the truth. Like, he has his opinion on how things went.
And when you're the center of a conversation, you want to be able to speak your piece, not just have other people speak about you.
Right.
But that's but said, at the same time,
having six women screaming at you.
No, what I was going to say is I don't think he has any problem inserting himself into the drama, as we saw in the finale.
Well, in a conversation even before he went on, he said that, like, he feels responsible because he's the one who told Dorit, you should do this show.
Oh.
And so now there's a part of him also, I think, that inserts himself because, like,
he's protecting her because he feels like he put her in this position.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I know.
The one thing I will say is I think that they truly love each other, and I do think that it's sweet that he is trying to protect his wife so much.
Totally. If that was a couple that split, I'd be very...
surprised?
Yeah.
Yeah. But speaking of the episode, let's just dig in
to the finale. We're getting ahead of ourselves.
Yes, we are. We are. Grace referred to this, and I agree, as a bottle episode because we stay in one location and it kind of caused everyone to talk about all their problems.
Right. I think it may be the first time in, like, Beverly Hills history because to stay at one party, you know, like, sometimes you'll go on vacation. Yes, you're on that, like, in Mexico the whole time, but not to be at, like, the same event the whole episode.
I feel like maybe they've done that at the white party before because there was just so much that happened with Taylor and Camille when she gave the book. It was, like, that whole night.
Well, now I have to go back and look.
I know. We're going to have to research. But, yes, fascinating that it all was one night. I mean, there's just so much to talk about.
Well, I was surprised because the whole thing is to launch an LVP rosé.
The whole time I kept thinking, poor Pandora. She's supposed to be celebrating her new rosé and these women keep fighting.
She's probably like, well, at least I know that they'll talk about the rosé on the show.
True.
But I was surprised because I was like, don't they already have a rosé? But I guess I'm confusing it with the sangria.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
I mean, it's funny to me that she would go with sangria first because when I think rosé, I think Lisa Vanderpump.
Yeah, anything pink.
Anything pink.
Oh, my God, I wrote down Kim's boobs.
I know. She looked great.
Like, Kim Richards, I mean, really pulling off that dress.
Yes, grandmotherhood is suiting her.
I know. She's a gilf.
A gilf. I agree. I also just wrote down Camille because I was just so excited to see Camille, although I was sad she was not involved as much, and I thought maybe she would get in there and say something.
Yeah.
What did she say to Asia Maloof? I will not sit for it, I will not stand for it, and I will not, whatever she said at that, the palm.
I don't remember.
Good.
You know, okay, so Lisa Vanderpump has a habit of poking and poking and poking at an issue. And I have to say, in this whole Pantygate situation, I find her more offensive than Dorit.
I mean, I think Lisa Vanderpump might have had some rosé, thought she was being hilarious.
Because she kept going.
Yeah, and just kept poking and poking and poking. But before that, I don't feel like she had really done it before.
No, for sure.
So but I think just, maybe she was just really trying to, like, be like, it's a joke! We're joking! It's
even
a joke!
Though Erica was like, I don't think it's funny.
Right, yeah. Like, I just kept being like, every time she would bring it up, I was like, Lisa, no, what are you doing? That's happening. Kim Richards is talking to Dorit all about Hong Kong. And
yes,
we know Kim Richards' history with Lisa Rinna, the husband comment. So that's all brewing.
Right.
And then you have Dorit, and then you have Lisa calling to Kim from across the room as they're talking about this.
Uh-huh.
And that's when it all starts.
Well, because I feel like Kim, when it comes to Lisa Rinna, doesn't need much
poking.
She doesn't need much prodding from anyone to be like, oh, yeah, I still have some things to say to Rinna.
But it's also Lisa Vanderpump once again who kind of pokes the situation because she's like, you're not going to tell her that we're not talking about her right now?
Oh, when Lisa's not involved, when Lisa Vanderpump's not involved, she loves to watch it all unfold.
Yes, like, yes. She's and, all of us.
And I get it. Even if I have two friends fighting, I secretly love it.
Oh, I see. I see how it is, Megan. So many of our workplace shenanigans make so much sense now. But so that's when, so Lisa Rinna goes to Eileen, and Eileen's like, all right, we need to fix all this. And she says to herself, I hate myself for doing this. Kyle, come over here. So they start talking, and then Dorit comes over, and that's when Lisa and Dorit kind of go at it again.
Right. I mean, ugh, I just think of that comment that's like, well, you do it. You do a better impersonation of it.
Oh, which comment?
If you're too, if I can smell your breath.
If I can smell your breath, you're too close.
If I can smell your breath, you're too close. Take a step back.
Wow.
I don't know why. She gets kind of New Jersey in there.
Right.
Like,
it's the Connecticut.
It's the Connecticut coming out. I thought it was interesting that it's kind of going nowhere. And even Lisa Rinna says, this conversation's going nowhere. It's going in circles. And she's kind of getting all the blame because Kim Richards comes over and says, you've had issues with me. You've had issues with Yolanda. You've had issues with
Brandy.
You've had issues with Dorit now. And so Lisa Rinna's like, oh, it's all my fault. It's all my fault, of course. And that's when she said, and then Dorit's like, what have I done to you? And she's like, what have you done to Erica?
Which is not, I don't like that. You're deflecting.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, Kyle says that. Do you think that she was just deflecting, trying to get it off of her?
Oh, 1,000%. Which, by the way, I don't blame her for.
Right. She don't want to be in the hot seat.
Right. So it makes sense to, like,
and yeah. Block and it's also, like, slippery slope being like, you have to take responsibility for everything you've ever done wrong in this one moment.
Right.
Like, that's not really fair.
Right.
So then all of that opens up again, and that's when you get the PK lurking in the background.
Not only that, but I love that he brings Dorit a bottle of water. Like, because she is in, like,
the ring.
The
She's
ring,
in the ring.
And he knows his wife needs to stay hydrated. It was just like, wow, that's a good husband.
It was so amazing. And then I thought it was crazy that when he then enters the conversation, his back is to her, and Eric has to be like, look at me, PK. Look at me. And I was just like, this is so awkward. And then you have the, you're inherently cold.
Right.
And then I thought it was crazy that Erica didn't remember Dorit's apology. But then when they even flash back, I was like, I don't think Erica, like, can see at that moment. I think all of her senses have shut down.
She wasn't ready to hear it.
Yeah. Or she was in the sunken place. I feel like that's what she looked like. She was just, like, not there.
Like, get out.
Like, get out. Like, she just went somewhere else. She wasn't present at all.
Right.
So it didn't surprise me that she didn't remember Dorit apologizing.
But how frustrating for
Dorit. Oh, my
God.
I would lose it. I would just be like, what do you mean you don't remember?
I would be, like, shouting at the party, play back the clip.
Right. Producers, come here. We need all to have a viewing party really quickly. But then, of course, it went back to when Dorit said, like, we've all seen enough of you.
Ugh.
And it was just like,
you could feel as she was saying it.
She was like, no.
Why is it coming out of my mouth?
Yeah. It was all bad. But I also thought it was interesting that Eileen, again, is just so ride or die Erica. Because she just is like, I don't think she's cold. I think that you're wrong, PK. And then I loved when she was just like, goodbye. She was just like, bye, PK. And PK is like, what? And she's like, just stop, like, leave.
Right.
Which I think needed to happen because it wasn't gonna be good.
Well, and I'm always on the side of, like, even though it involved PK, I don't like it when the guys get involved.
Right, it's, like, too much.
Yeah.
But I did think Erica truly did need to hear PK kind of, like, put it on record that he didn't think that she was coming on to him. Because I think she was so worried that that narrative was out there.
Right.
That people were saying that she was trying to be slutty and, like, whatever. So him coming forward and saying it on record that, no, I didn't think that. That's not what happened. I think kind of, like, let her nerves kind of calm.
Right.
I had a question for you.
Okay.
Not to interrupt your thought.
No, go ahead.
But so you see Dorit and Erica have, like, this moment of reconciliation.
Mm-hmm.
Did it feel like that at the reunion?
No.
Okay. That's interesting.
No. And it felt like we had that whole moment again almost.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Which is why I think it's sort of frustrating sometimes to be the housewife. Mm-hmm. Where you're just like, I thought we resolved this.
Right.
Just like Lisa Rinna was with Kim. Like, haven't they had that conversation a million times? But I think it truly has to be two people who are being honest with themselves. And I don't think that always happens. Like, I don't think Kim wants to make up with Lisa Rinna. But she won't say that. So they keep, like...
Well, it's because you want to be, like, the best version of yourself. Right. And the best version of yourself isn't petty, isn't angry. Right. Isn't, but, like, it's not like those feelings aren't there.
But then, so, yeah, it's just interesting. It's interesting to watch. I love it. Yes. God bless them. I love it.
We can just really quickly shout out Eden. You bitch!
That was crazy.
It was like 0 to 100.
And
I thought Lisa Rinna was kind of cruel. Because she was just like, you were dead to me. I was done with you. And then just kind of laughs at her.
No, I know.
And her indignation. I know. It was kind of like, nothing hurts more than when you're being like emotional and vulnerable and somebody laughing at you and not caring.
Shuts it down.
Yeah.
Well, and I mean, I think I had said this before, but like, Eden starts crying backstage at the reunion before they even start. Because, like, whether or not you think it's crazy that she felt so close to Rinna so soon, that's how she felt.
Right. Like, those are her feelings. And she really meant that. She gave her everything.
I know. But can't wait for the reunion.
Oh, I know. I can't wait. I also just want to mention Kyle and Lisa dancing together at the end. Like, gave me so much life.
Oh, I know. Like, they're like, it didn't involve us.
Yeah. Yay. I'm just going to steal your coat. Anyway, it was awesome, and I can't wait.
All right, we're going to get into what I've been excited for 4 weeks. Mm-hmm. The Real Housewives of New York City. But first, we're going to take a little break. Oh, it is raining, and I did not bring an umbrella.
Megan.
I know. I keep having to go down to the bodega and buy like a $20 umbrella.
Well, you know what you need? Poncho.
What's that?
Well, it's this bot for a Facebook Messenger.
Like a robot?
Yes, like a robot, but it's a cat.
Okay, I'm in.
But it tells you the weather, and you can set up notifications so that you never get caught without an umbrella again.
That would save me, like, on average, $100 a week.
Well,
I'm not a mathematician.
But not only can it save you money, Megan, you can also talk to it about The Real Housewives of New York City this week.
Wait, now you're talking crazy.
Right, you get the weather and tea. It's like everything you would need. Just message it, OMG, RHONY, and you'll get some fun gifts, some commentary on this week's episode. It'll be hilarious.
You can search Hi Poncho on Facebook Messenger and message him to start chatting.
And if we weren't shouting out the incredible Poncho this week, we would be sponsored by Tommy's Cookies.
Wait, what is that in reference to?
I don't know if you noticed it in the Roni episode, but when you saw Luann in her penthouse, or her and Tom's penthouse, they panned over the kitchen, and in the corner there was this giant cookie jar that said Tommy's Cookies on it. And it was just like, what is that?
And what's inside?
Right, ugh. So this episode would have been brought to you by Tommy's Cookies.
Also, for a full tour of that penthouse, go to bravotv.com.
I don't even know where to begin with this episode. It was so good.
I think I've just been waiting so long for these housewives to come back into my life that now that it's here, I don't know what to do with myself.
It's like an old friend you haven't seen in a long time.
And I'll be honest, I really wasn't sure this season who was going to come back and who wasn't.
Right.
I feel like Luann had such a hard season, like, that I could easily see her being like, nope, not dealing with this.
Right. And I thought because everyone kind of turned on Carol at the reunion and said she was a mean girl, and because I feel like she only really liked Bethany last year, she might have been like, I don't need this anymore. This is too much for me.
Yeah. But I was happy to see everyone back. Except Jules.
Yeah.
But so, like, of course, the premiere is always sort of like a reintroduction, like, yes, where they are in their lives. Ramona is being renewed once again.
Yes.
Except this time it's in the form of a apartment remodel.
Which I love the after. I was like, I want to live in that apartment.
1,000%. It was, like, long overdue. I think it looks so chic now.
So chic.
Something Jeff Lewis might have put together.
Mmm. I can see that with, like, the grays.
Yeah.
He loves a gray. The most interesting part of this remodel, though, Mario.
Oh, yes. The contractor, right?
Yeah, the contractor. There were so many moments that I was like, woo! Like, went right away when she was like, Did you know that my husband's name is Mario? No, I don't think he did know that.
Ramona, not everyone knows that you're coming out of a divorce.
I mean, when she opens the door with her face in a mask and in this, like, negligee. But it's just so Ramona.
It's so
She's,
Ramona.
Like, not bothered at all.
I know.
Like, completely normal, whatever. She's talking about having another sink for a lover. She asks him to be her matchmaker and find her a man.
Yeah.
He gives her a kitchen. He gives her a man.
She really doesn't need anyone else.
No, really, all she needs is this Mario.
Exactly. Yeah, and so she's dating and, like, fully admitting it. Mm-hmm. I feel like last season she was very,
maybe. Right. It was a lot of, like, oh, well, I guess I need to go now, but not saying where she was going. A doctor's appointment.
So while we're on the subject of houses, we see Bethany again.
We do see Bethany again.
Again, sure if we'd see her this season, just because I feel like the reunion put a strain on her.
Yes.
It was hard on her, I think. And I was happy to see her. And we get to, like, finally go back to the house that she bought with Jason in, you know, Bethany Ever After.
I thought she was going to cry again.
Yeah.
So I mean, not that she's a big crier, but I thought we were going to get, like, another emotional moment. So I was kind of, like, happy to see that she wasn't in that place anymore.
Right. She still needed a moment to process, but it didn't seem like from such a sad place. It seemed like she was just ready to get this apartment off her hands.
We got to see Frederick.
Oh, Frederick.
In corduroy.
Yes.
It was so weird to me that she kept saying corduroy. And then, of course, you have Luann and Dorinda in the park.
Yes. Oh, my God. It was funny to me because it's so true that when Dorinda went to that little hot dog stand and she got two bottles of water and it cost $4. Because, yes, that's how much we pay for our bottled water here.
Right.
Like, those street vendors, they just know.
Yeah.
They just know that you'll pay anything.
Right. And then you hear that the stuff between Sonia and Dorinda has not gotten better.
Right. Okay. Because we know that we ended in the reunion with the drug allegation.
Yes.
And apparently, well, according to Dorinda, who we hear from later, says that Sonia's just been talking about her in the press all around town. She's sick of it.
Yes. For months. And she said, this isn't like months ago. This is like last month that she's doing this.
Right.
And we hear that Ramona is calling women in the middle of the night in California to find out if Tom is cheating on Luann.
Which is why she wasn't invited to the bridal shower.
Right, at her very good friend's house.
Yeah.
I just love that she kept saying that.
These women, they're so, like, happy to let you know that they know everyone in town.
Right, and they're so happy to, it's like so many, it's not a backhanded compliment, that's the wrong word for it, but it's like you're mean for not inviting me.
Right.
Carol has cats. Not one, but two.
Oh, yeah. So Carol is shacking up with Adam.
Right. Shacking up. I actually found that really endearing because I do think that she very much is like, is this really my life? I don't know. And, like, so hesitant to, like, put a stamp on, like, her and Adam.
Right.
So I found that endearing. I wanted to hear what your thoughts were that she was, like, testing out two kitties and giving one back. Because I was like, there's no way that's going to happen. You're going to keep them both.
Yeah, I don't know. Whenever people foster, I don't understand it.
Like, I mean, end up with 1,000 cats.
Good for you. We need more foster homes, I seek, for the animals. But it's like, how do you give them up?
I know. I don't know how she does it. There's also more animals in our lives. With Biggie and Smalls.
Oh, yeah. I don't know how to feel about that.
Aww.
Because it's like, yeah, Bryn wants a new puppy, but it's also like, what about Cookie, Bryn? Cookie's not good enough for you? Cookie to Boo Boo's been very good to you.
Right. I understand, but I also, she probably doesn't want there to be a break.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, Cookie
16.
Is 16.
I know.
Which really, that should be her next book. Like, How I Kept My Dog Alive for So Long. Here's exactly what I fed her.
Skinny dog.
Yes!
Trademark it now, Bethany.
Sonia is an actress.
She is an actress. Because, you know, she's known for her body humor.
Yes. Which, thank God, they showed the Cabrolesque again.
Any time a Cabrolesque clip can be used, I'm all for it. I just love that she's just, like, unabashedly talking about giving men hand jobs and, like...
Yeah. Well, it's in the script,
It's in the script. Yes, of course.
It was someone in the office went to go see the play so we could write about it, and they said it was good.
Yeah, I've seen that play. Someone else was in it, like Gigi or someone.
Hadid?
No. Gulnaz Shadaghi, yeah.
Oh. They said Sonia was good in it, so... I can see that. She's very funny.
She's very funny. She has good timing, I think, which can't be taught. When she was like, it's the final show and my lines aren't quite there yet. Oh, yeah. It's the final show and your lines aren't quite there. She's like, but I can wing it.
I was interested seeing Bethany go into her home. Bethany has such a different aesthetic in terms of like where she lives and how she decorates. And I was curious what she was going to say about Sonia's home, but it was all very complimentary.
Yeah, people make a lot. I feel like there's a lot of like comparisons, and even Sonia herself says in her tagline to like Grey Gardens, it's this like house in, you know, dismay kind of. So it was nice that Bethany went in there. Was like, oh no, it's a home. That's why she's so
attached to it.
It was like a very kind thing to say. But then I thought she was very unkind going through her clothes.
Unkind about her clothes. Unkind about Luann's upcoming wedding.
Yes.
I mean, at this point, you've just got to get on board.
Yeah, right? I feel like I've had friends who are in relationships, and it's a losing battle. You can, like, have a serious talk with them about, I don't think this guy's a good guy, and it doesn't matter because they either have to learn that on their own or they're going to make their own mind up. So, and either way, you're never going to win.
What did you think about that final dinner between Ramona and Luann?
I thought it was interesting because Ramona's whole thing is like, I just am doing this for you.
Right.
I don't want to see you fall on your face. But the whole thing reminded me of Tamara Barney and Gretchen Rossi, of just like digging in really deep into like phone records and going like, did you go to Bass Lake and all of that. It was like very like, I'm doing research about you because I don't trust something.
Right.
And I feel like that doesn't usually happen on Roni. It's a very like OC thing.
Well, I think the difference here though, and Luann...
Tamara Judge. I'm so sorry. I said Tamara Judge again.
I thought you meant to because she was Barney at the time.
Okay. Yeah, we'll say that.
That Luann even says this herself. Like, Ramona does care for Luann, and Luann knows that. That's, like, what's underlying a lot of things. Is, like, even though she goes about things in a really horrible way, Ramona cares whether Luann ends up...
happy or not.
Yeah.
But I do think there is a, she just wants to know.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Ramona wants to be in the know.
Right.
She loves having
that
info.
It's not all, like, altruistic, I'm just trying to help you out, Luann.
It's, but under the layers.
Right, right. I agree. There's a heart there.
So we didn't get to meet the new housewife, but that is coming next episode.
Yes. I can't wait. I know what you guys are thinking. Why are you here without Dorinda? Well... she's here! We sat down with Dorinda earlier this week and talked everything Roni, John, her, Sonia.
Find out which Disney princess she thinks she is.
And which Disney prince she thinks John is.
It's worth a listen. Hi guys, it's Megan.
And it's Rachel.
And we are here with a very special guest.
Yes. Can you guess who? I made it nice.
Dorinda Medley. Dorinda, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. I've had a full day of running around, getting ready for season 9. Very exciting.
You know that's not what we wanted to hear. How am I doing?
Not well, bitch. I missed it. How am I doing? Not well, bitch.
So good.
My favorite. I'm so happy everybody loves that so much. I never even realized I said it until it came out on the teaser.
Does that happen a lot? Do you not realize you said something?
Because you're in such the moment. As I always say to people, people think that somehow like this is directed or scripted. It's really not.
Right.
It's really where we are, who we are. And usually it even continues after you're done filming.
So you're coming in for your third season.
Yes.
Does it feel different? How is it different? If you can remember back to your season 1.
Yeah, I think it feels different because, you know, I'm, you know what to expect. You know what I mean? You know, you're not so afraid. I know the girls now. I understand their personalities. You know, I always knew them, but now you really know them. And we're almost like in college. You know, you're like living in a sorority. And, you know, I know how to manage it better. You know, not get so emotional about it. I have to let it go. I've really decided in order for me to stay on the show and do it properly, I have to keep doing, which I hope I do, keep the TV Dorinda the same as the real life Dorinda. Because I do think you can get caught up. And then all of a sudden, you know, there becomes two different people. So I wanted to keep that seamless. And I also I made a commitment to myself to keep, you know, just be linear about it. Let it go. You know, once I say it and it's out in the universe, let it go. You know, and if people like it, great. If they don't, well, that's all right, too.
Yeah.
I'll survive, you know.
If anyone's not following your Instagram, they should, because you can see that you're the same on your Instagram as you are on the show. I, like, look at your live Instagram every day.
Oh, that's great. I love that live Instagram.
You know, the last time we as fans saw you was at the reunion, and it kind of ended with what I felt was a bombshell, which was Sonia making a crazy drug accusation.
It was, and you know what? Based on, I have no, you know, first of all, I don't even, Sonia and I were never friends before the show. She was, I actually knew of Sonia because she was good friends with Ramona. But, you know, we, you know, there's the old saying, judge me by the people I avoid. Okay. So I never knew her. She lived a different life than I did. Even though we grew up very similarly, she grew up in upstate New York. I grew up in upstate, you know, Massachusetts. Both were waitresses. But she just had more of a persona lifestyle than I did. Okay. And for someone that has no basis and, you know, to say something so dreadful and hurtful to not only me, but to my family was stunning. But the good news is, as I said, when people ask me about it, I said, consider the source.
Right.
You know, to me, it came off as, listen, if I can run my life the way I do, run two homes, be up every day. Well, you see my Instagram. You saw it. Usually up at 6 o'clock every day, live with my daughter full time up until a month ago. You know, don't look horrible. Then I think I should be doing whatever I'm doing, because obviously my life is very successful and okay, but I don't, and I never would, and it's not, I mean, you can't. My daughter doesn't allow alcohol in my apartment.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. No.
Okay, but so since cameras don't follow you after, how does something like that end? Like, so
it doesn't.
Stopped filming for the night. Do you guys go to dinner together?
Last year was a very dark season, and the reunion was dark, and I think people felt it. But, you know, usually the reunion, I've only done two, but the first reunion I did and the reunions I've watched, they come to some resolution, and you get the feeling like they all get up and hug each other and probably go out afterwards and have a dinner. No, people slithered away. It's literally like the cameras went down and it was like, boom. No one even went to have a drink with each other.
Wow. Does she send a text saying, I'm sorry, things went too far?
No.
You just kind of like ignore it?
No, I didn't ignore. I just, you know, it's a very funny thing. I didn't care because I really was like, you're just not credible to me. But maybe it's Sonia's just not credible to me. And we all know Sonia lives a Sonia life. So to be saying things about me like that when she's never even been out with me.
Right.
Okay. I don't hang out with Sonia. We don't go. We've never even had a dinner together. So I, quite frankly, didn't take it seriously.
Yeah.
It kind of laughed it off. I was like, all right, sure. And, you know, I'm also a tightroper. You know what I mean?
Right.
I just didn't. So what hurt me more or equally was that, because I really don't think people took it seriously. Come on. I was like, really? Okay. What hurt me more is that she spent the next sort of 6 months going to press, going to people on these Facebook groups, going to anybody that would listen, doing even further stuff. I actually invited her to the Berkshires for the summer. She didn't even respond.
Oh, wow.
You know, I try to reach out. I try to say, let's try to, you know, because I really am a person that I don't hold grudges. I just don't think it's healthy for me.
Right.
Okay. And she just sort of started spreading even bigger things like, I'm broke, I'm a nobody, where did I come from, you know, blah, 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 I'm jealous. And I spent the whole summer listening and not doing a thing, not responding. The press would be like, hey, can you respond to Sonia's? I'm like, I won't even talk. No.
Right.
Because I do do the Obama theory, you know, you go low, I go high.
Right. Mm-hmm. Great.
And I don't think if you defend yourself to, if you have to keep explaining to people, people see me. People know me. I think I'm a pretty transparent person. You know, I don't think I'm not perfect by any means, but, you know, who is? So, and I don't think I wanted to waste any of my time or energy defending accusations against Sonia Morgan. That to me is just a complete waste of time. And I think that's what you saw in this season, is that it came to a head. I just was like, I actually warned her a couple of times. I said, stop, please, Sonia. Mm-hmm. I'm asking you, stop with this. We don't have to be friends, but stop it. That's all I was saying. When it didn't, then I finally just said, okay, now it's time to cut the head off.
And it seemed like this all just came down to her not being invited to that Berkshire's party.
That's all it was. And, you know, right or wrong, I still stand by that. I didn't think she was in a good place to be going up. The other girls did not feel like she was in a good place. Clearly, you can see from the episode. The thing that I found very interesting is that you look at her confrontation with Bethany in her office, which was far worse, and yet she had no problem with that.
Yeah, that's weird.
It was really weird. She got fixated on this, and it was one night.
Right.
One night. And quite frankly, you see that weekend was very, or that the couple of days up there was very tough. I thought I was being protective.
Yeah, right. You were doing the right thing, you thought.
Yeah, and I thought we were fine because we actually had a follow-up afterwards, but she just got fixated. But Sonia sometimes has a tendency to do that, you know, get a little fixated on things and can't move on from them. Mm-hmm.
You said the season, last season was so dark. Would you say the season is lighter?
It's different. It's not dark. It's much more, it's reactive. It's emotional. I think you're going to both cry. I think you're going to laugh very hard. Mm-hmm. There's some really funny scenes. It's like old school again, which I like. And we do some really interesting things. We go away a lot more this year, which is, I think, brings out the best and the worst in us.
That's
like
the
did weekends, you know. You know, it was Rich's 5th year anniversary, which was a huge mark. Mm. So Carol came up for that, and that really helped me to sort of rebond with Carol. And I feel so grateful that we have developed this wonderful friendship. Tinsley was a great addition. You know, a little bit of a slow start. I didn't know how to place her because of sort of this whole thing that happened in Palm Beach, and she was so blatantly honest about it that I was like, I didn't know how to handle it. You know, sort of New York, Palm Beach, my job. I was like, oh, okay. But did you get a frame for it? I mean,
Did you frame your mugshot?
So, but she really ended up coming into her own. It takes a while. And listen, we're not exactly, A, she's younger. B, we're not exactly an easy group. And she had to get back into the swing of it, too, you know, moving to New York. And she was living with Sonia, which I think put her at a bit of a disadvantage. Because I think she felt like she had to be incredibly loyal and correct to Sonia in the beginning.
How familiar were you with the name Tinsley Mortimer?
It's a funny thing. I knew of Tinsley Mortimer because she was on a show that was popular when my daughter was younger. So my daughter used to watch it.
Oh.
So there was...
It was on the CW or WB.
Yeah, and it was all about the... And it was funny because my daughter was going to school on the Upper East Side and she knew of this Tinsley and the life they were living. And so I knew of her. And you remember when Tinsley was on that show and living in New York, she was everywhere.
Well, that's what I was going to say.
Everywhere.
I lived in Texas and I knew of her.
Yeah. Every party, every black tie, she was like the first kind of famous
it girl.
Yes.
Yeah. So, you know, when you started on the show, Bethany came back, and that was a big deal for Roni fans. They were so excited. Then her next season, your second season, a lot of people were like, wow, this is a different Bethany.
Yeah.
And she kind of had a tough season, I feel.
Yeah.
This season, what do you think fans will get?
Well, I think,
her?
You know, Bethany has evolved. You know, she's had her divorce that's behind her. I think she's very comfortable in her skin. The thing that people, and I, you know, I'm so happy to be able to say this, Bethany's actually very loving. She actually does try hard. I think, you know, sometimes the delivery, you know, you've got to get used to the delivery. It's a different kind of delivery. But remember, she lives in a world that, you know, maybe even a male world, you know, where she's doing business. Then she has to be a mother. Then she's running her homes. Then she was doing her divorce. And I don't think Bethany has a lot of time for bullshit. But when you actually have the opportunity to sit with her and talk with her or spend time with her, she's a lot of fun. She's actually a real girl's girl. You know, but you just have to be honest with her. And she doesn't like bullshit. And I respect that because I don't like bullshit. We're strangely similar in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
And have the same humor. Our delivery is a little different, but we're actually quite similar. You know, I have a real survivor kind of mentality, and so does she. And I have a kind of I don't give a shit attitude, and so does she. So, yeah, I think this year you're going to see a much more lighthearted, you know, she's freer, she's funny, and she is, I got the feeling last year a little bit that it was just, you know, her and Carol, her and Carol, her and Carol.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And when they weren't together, everybody was attacking. Whereas now, she, you know, you see a lot more of her with different people in different situations, and you see the funny side to her.
Good.
And the generous side.
Do you ever get to see Bethany the mom?
I obviously, Bryn is the hugest thing in her life, but I, you know, every once in a while I'll get a picture of stuff, and she's very dedicated.
Mm-hmm.
Very. I don't know how she does it. I mean, I'm exhausted every day, and I have a 23-year-old. I mean, it's a lot to keep going. But she, and then somehow she fits in dating.
Right.
I just don't know how she does it, and she never looks tired.
Yeah. Is she still with the man she was dating last year that she was talking about in the Berkshires?
I don't know. You know, yeah, I don't ask either. Those questions. I don't like to get involved in people's life like that.
Well, can it's we get job. Involved in yours?
Yes, she can ask me about my life all you want, but as far as other people's, I don't care about, you know.
So you and John still together?
We are still together upon 5 years.
Mm-hmm. But not living together?
No.
Now, Rachel had kind of pose this question to me and some other girlfriends. Like, do you think that as a society we're moving away from marriage?
If you talk to my daughter, she thinks marriage is going to be obsolete. She's like, I'd like to freeze my eggs and just focus on my career and my writing and myself. And not, she's like, you know, your generation was so focused on getting married because you were worried about having babies.
Mm.
If you remove that, and, you know, except for the children thing, women, I can't tell you how many offices I walk into now, situations, political fundraisers, it's women. Women are very powerful. And what I love about women of today, the guilt is gone.
Mm.
When I was always guilty. Oh, I got to get home to Hannah. Oh, I can't work to her. Oh, my God. They're much more comfortable with doing what they got to do and being present when they're at home and being present at work and being powerful in their workplace and being mommy. So I don't know if it's obsolete. I think it's evolving into something different.
So then for you,
it's never going to be obsolete. We all love love.
Right.
Right. Well, it's such an institution. Does that mean love isn't there? No.
No. I mean, I'm not saying you can't, but listen, we're all going to, at the end of the day, women love a fairy tale.
Mm.
I mean, I went to Beauty and the Beast and was hysterical crying. I'm like, because it's me. It's me and John. Don't you see?
This is
I
my
was paralytic when I got out.
Oh my God. That's this amazing.
My favorite analogy I've ever heard.
It's like, I love you, John. Come over and dance with me immediately. Song and everything.
Well, you do love tea. There's teacups around.
But like, because you feel like there's a prince underneath that no one else can see but you.
Yes,
oh my God.
The thing about John is he's listen, no one could be with someone for 5 years and still, I'm still excited about seeing him. Like, we still, I get dressed up, you know, but I'm going to see him. And John's hysterically funny. And John, he may be rough around the edges, but he's a real man's man. And I like that. Maybe it's because I grew up very ethnic. You know, my grandfather was a big Italian and always had a lot of, and John has tons of men friend, which I think is almost obsolete in this day and age. Like, he goes out with his friends. And they all hug each other. What's up, buddy? I got your back. Got your back, buddy. Okay.
Right, right.
They go to Italian places and they eat and you come and they seem to be having a great time and there's lots of food. And John is very, very funny. And John's the type of person that you'd call at 2 a.m. if you were in trouble.
Hmm.
One tear and he'd be at your door. I mean, my God, one day someone said something nasty to me and I was actually the bitch, but I yelled back. Yeah, man. I was like, what the going down now?
Well, so you've been in relationships, you've watched relationships. You were the only one that went to Luann's wedding.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Do you think they will go the distance?
I absolutely. I'm hoping. You know, marriage is hard, even mm-hmm. without all these obstacles. There's no doubt that they put a lot of pressure on the relationship last year, and boy, it was tested. So I think the fact that it was incredibly tested, they made it through, they kept it moving, and they're very happy. I'm hoping, what else could happen?
Right. They've been through it all.
The worst of it happened.
Right.
And she's happy, you guys. She's, I mean, I know it's to some people's nauseam, but she, like the other day I called her, she's like, oh, Tom and I just found a bow, and then we're going to go have a romantic dinner. I mean, she's happy.
Right. Yeah, and that's all that matters.
She's happy, and it doesn't, you know, why not?
Did you foresee a wedding when you set them up?
No. I just thought they'd have, the, you know, sort of a couple drinks and a roll in the hay. I mean, I...
Look what you did.
I know. I did a mitzvah.
You did.
One more and I go to heaven, don't I? Is
that what I am? Yeah, totally. Okay, so you guys are finished filming season 9 right now.
Yes.
Now, you're going to do some press, but other than that, like, how is life different when you're not filming and when you are?
Let me tell you something, a secret. You get so it starts just in the same way in October, you've got to transition into it. You've got to transition out of it again. Mm-hmm. Because all of a sudden you're like, where's my car? Where did you arrange for me to eat tonight? You know what I mean? Everything is arranged and it's great. It's great. You know, people give you, everywhere you go to shop, they give you free stuff. They clear out the things, you know. I mean, you are like, for 6 months, this is your whole life.
Right.
And I look forward to it. You know, the producer, Eric, would call me and be like, hey, doing your car's picking up in 15 minutes. Hey, Eric. Hey, girl. Hey. You know, you're with all these people all the time.
Right.
That are so much fun. It's not just the cast. It's the cameraman, the producers. You laugh so much because, you know, there's a lot of behind the scenes stuff that goes down when the cameras go down, you know. And then that Friday, it ends. And Saturday morning, it's like a cricket.
Oh, yeah.
You're like, I literally was like to my doorman, hey, Henry, anybody down there for me? He's like, well, you got a delivery from Gracie's Diner. I'm like, send them up. it's so jarring. Okay. And then you're back in this real world,
right,
where you don't have, where you have to do everything for yourself again.
Okay? So really, is that great to be a housewife?
Fun. You know, it is what it is. But, you know, it brings a structure to your life that I like.
Right.
I mean, you're exhausted, but it is. It's sort of nice for 6 months. Your life is sort of planned.
Mm.
And your whole world becomes these people.
Right.
The cameramen, the producers, the castmates. But yeah.
Yeah.
I love it. I'm not going to lie to you.
Okay.
I'm always slightly depressed when it's over.
Well, some people have a Sophie's Choice. We have a Sophie Stanberry Choice.
Okay.
You have to pick one.
Okay.
Bring John on as a full-time housewife, or bring back Heather Thompson as a full-time housewife.
Bring back Heather Thompson.
Really? Oh, I didn't think you were going to
go
that
100%.
Way.
Yes, 100%. Yeah.
So you guys are friends again?
Yes.
Okay.
Everything's good. I haven't seen her. She's been really busy, and I haven't been up to the Berkshires at all.
Oh, no.
I just can't be up there when it's dark like this.
I know.
It's too depressing.
Right. It gets dark at like 3:30.
Yeah. And you know what? I'll start again. Like, I think in about a week, we're going to start seeing the sun, so I'll start going up again.
I was wondering in the Super Cheese, you say something to the effect of, like, they're obsessed with me. Well, now I'm obsessed with them.
No, I know. What is it? She has a hard-on for me. Yes. And guess what? Now I got a hard-on for her. Because...
Who are you referring to?
Sonia. She was, like, after me the whole summer. I never responded. And finally, I'm like, okay. But I said, well, she doesn't realize now after all this. Now I got a hard-on for her.
I can't wait.
Yeah. But all the good news is, you know, we work through it, Sonia and I, at some point. You know, we come to...
Oh, that's
because she's actually a good person.
Right.
You know, when she's good, she's great. Nothing's better than a good Sonia.
Right.
And she's very smart.
Right.
She plays this sort of, like, whole thing, but she's not. She's very smart. She knows exactly what she's doing. Anyway, well, this was fun.
Thank you so much.
I'll come back anytime.
We need to talk once the season gets going, because we're going to have a million questions.
Honey, invite me. I'll be here.
Okay.
Anyway, goodbye, everybody. It was great being here. I loved it.
Thank you so much.
Wednesday nights, 9 o'clock, Bravo TV.
Yes.
Talking to Dorinda is such a treat. I feel like she's always just so unfiltered when she's in, you know?
Completely. And I feel like you might say some people, I feel like I'm talking to a friend with her.
Right.
Like, she's really real with you, you know? Other people I feel like are really hesitant, like, oh God, I'm talking on a podcast or like on video or doing a shoot and I don't want to say the wrong thing. She's just like, I'm out there.
Right. In the best way.
Yes.
But yeah, tweet us what you guys think of this episode, the interview, Beverly Hills finale. We want to hear your thoughts.
Yes.
We're at Bravo TV and use the hashtag Bravo Daily Dish.
Looking fine, and I got my girls with me. With the boys at the table getting tipsy, Miss.